Hey everyone, ready for another deep dive? Today, we're taking a closer look at something you use every day, your web browser.
You know, the thing you use to check the weather, watch videos, and maybe do a little online shopping.
Exactly. And more specifically, we're diving deep into the Brave browser.
Brave, yeah. The one that was supposed to be like the champion of online privacy, right?
Well, that's what they claimed. But our source material today paints a bit of a different picture. It's a document rather provocatively titled...
Wait, let me guess. Something like Exposed. Brave Browser Caught Red-Handed.
Uh-huh. Pretty close. It's called How the Brave Browser Stole Private User Data and How They Got Caught.txt.
Ooh, catchy. Definitely clickbait material, but hey, sometimes there's truth behind those attention-grabbing titles.
That's what we're here to find out.
Yeah.
So for those who might not be familiar, Brave burst onto the scene as the privacy-focused browser.
Yeah, like back in the day when people were just starting to realize, wait a minute, these tech giants are collecting tons of data on me.
Exactly. Facebook, Google, everyone was under scrutiny. And Brave swooped in, promising a faster, safer browsing experience.
No more annoying ads, no more trackers following you around the web, right?
Right. And they even offered to pay you to browse with their own cryptocurrency, BAP Basic Attention Token.
That was a big deal, the B8 thing, rewarding users for their attention instead of just, you know, exploiting it.
People were excited. I mean, who wouldn't be? It felt like the perfect solution to all those privacy concerns.
I remember thinking, finally, someone gets it.
But here's where things start to get, well, a little less idealistic. Remember Brave's private ad system?
Yeah, the one that said it wouldn't track you individually, but would still show you ads based on, like, your general interest.
Precisely. Sounds good in theory, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anonymized data, more privacy. But in 2020, researchers discovered some, shall we say, discrepancies.
Discrepancies. More like some serious red flags. Turns out Brave was sending a lot more data back to their servers than they let on.
Oh, like what kind of data?
We're talking full URLs you visited. And get this, even IP addresses in some cases.
Oh, IP addresses. Isn't that like pretty identifiable?
Yeah, not exactly anonymous. And here's the real kicker. This data was sometimes going to third-party servers before any anonymization supposedly took place.
So much for privacy, huh?
Kind of defeats the whole purpose. It's like, you know, ordering a gift online and having the company write what's inside on the shipping label. Not very discreet.
Not at all. So what did Brave say when this all came out? Did they try to explain themselves?
Oh, they did. But their initial response, let's just say it didn't go over well. They tried to downplay the whole thing, claiming the data was ultimately anonymized and, you know, necessary for their ad platform to function.
So basically they tried to sweep it under the rug.
Pretty much. And it backfired big time. Instead of acknowledging the concerns, they kind of doubled down.
Which, as you can imagine, didn't exactly inspire confidence in their commitment to user privacy.
Nope. It made people even more suspicious. Like, what are they hiding?
So how did this all come to light in the first place? Who uncovered these not-so-private practices?
Well, it was an anonymous researcher, just someone who decided to dig into how Brave systems worked.
So not some big investigation or anything?
Nope, just one person poking around. And they discovered vulnerabilities in how Brave stored data and how much they relied on those third-party advertisers, especially for the bait ads.
It really goes to show, even with all this sophisticated tech, sometimes it just takes one curious person to pull back the curtain.
Absolutely. And speaking of those vulnerabilities, they found that Brave was keeping a lot of data in one place, which makes them, well, a pretty easy target for hackers.
Oh, I see. Like a one-stop shop for anyone looking to steal data.
Exactly. And remember all those third-party advertisers we talked about? Well, Brave was basically handing them user data without really knowing how it would be used.
That's a bit of a blind spot, isn't it?
Yeah.
You trust a company, but then who do they trust?
Right. And that's a big question for all of us, not just with Brave, but with any online service. Where does our data go? Who has access to it?
It's like a chain reaction. You might trust company A, but if they're sharing your data with company B and company B isn't so trustworthy, well, you see the problem.
Exactly. And this whole data sharing thing gets even more complicated when you look at Brave's partnerships, because they're not just working with some small unknown companies. We're talking about major players in the tech world.
Yeah, I was going to say, Brave isn't exactly a lone wolf, are they? They've got some pretty big names attached to them.
Oh, yeah. Google, Twitter, Amazon Web Services.
Not exactly known for their staunch commitment to user privacy, are they?
Well, that's the thing. These partnerships raise some serious questions about, you know, conflicting interests. Can Brave really stay true to their privacy mission while also working with these giants?
I guess it depends on how much access those partners have to user data, right?
Right. And how much control Brave actually has over what happens to that data. Let's start with Twitter, for example. Back in 2021, Brave decided to integrate Twitter's tipping system, which, of course, uses BAT.
So you could tip your favorite tweeters with Brave's own cryptocurrency. Sounds convenient, but...
but also a bit risky, because Twitter's whole business model is built on, what, data. They collect it, they analyze it, they use it to target ads.
So by integrating with Twitter, is Brave potentially opening a door for them to access even more user data?
That's the big question, isn't it? How can they guarantee that user data isn't being shared or used in ways that people didn't agree to?
It's like you're trying to build this privacy-focused fortress, but then you leave a little back door open for a company like Twitter.
Exactly. It's a slippery slope. Yeah. And then there's the partnership with Google. I mean, Google is practically synonymous with data collection, right?
Oh, yeah. They're like the masters of it.
And Brave uses Google's Chromium engine for its browser, which, you know, it makes sense, right? It gives users a familiar browsing experience. Yeah. But
it also means they're relying on Google, which doesn't exactly scream privacy.
Exactly. It's like trying to escape the Matrix by using a program designed by the Matrix itself.
So even though Brave wants to be this privacy-focused alternative, they're still kind of tied to these big tech companies.
It makes you wonder if they can ever truly break free.
It's almost like a catch-22, isn't it?
Yeah. You need those partnerships to compete, but those partnerships might compromise the very thing that makes you different. And then, of course, there's Amazon Web Services.
Oh, yeah, AWS. They're like the backbone of the internet these days, right?
Pretty much. And Brave uses AWS for hosting and other services, which means user data could potentially be stored on Amazon servers.
So we've got potential data leaks through Twitter, potential access by Google, and now data potentially being stored by Amazon. It's kind of like a choose-your-own-adventure for privacy violations, isn't it?
It really makes you wonder, is online privacy even possible anymore?
It can feel pretty hopeless sometimes, to be honest.
I get that. But hey, it's not all doom and gloom. Remember, after that whole data scandal broke, Brave did actually try to address some of the concerns.
Oh, really? So they didn't just ignore it and hope it went away?
Nope. They publicly admitted they messed up, apologized for not being transparent enough.
Well, at least they owned up to it. What else did they do?
They made some changes to their systems, said they were going to be more careful with data, give users more control. They even started publishing blog posts and stuff, explaining their approach to privacy in more detail.
Sounds like damage control, but at least it's something, right?
Yeah, got to give them credit for that. Whether it was enough to regain people's trust, well, that's another story.
Yeah, once that trust is broken, it's hard to get it back.
It really is. And this whole Brave saga, it raises some big questions about privacy in general. You know, even companies with good intentions, they can still make mistakes.
And those mistakes can have real consequences for users.
Absolutely. It's like this constant battle between convenience and privacy. We want all the cool features, the personalized experiences, but we also want to protect our data.
It's a tough balance to strike.
It really is. And the question is, can we have both? Can we enjoy the benefits of technology without giving up our privacy?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Especially as technology keeps advancing at this crazy pace. It really makes you think, where do we go from here? I mean, what can we learn from all this? Like, how do we navigate this whole online privacy thing?
Well, I think the big takeaway from the Brave situation is that we can't just blindly trust companies, you know?
Even if they're promising us the world. Free stuff, more privacy, whatever it is.
Exactly. It sounds cynical, but we've got to be skeptical. We've got to think critically and really try to understand what's going on behind the scenes.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But how do we actually do that? It feels so overwhelming, all this tech stuff.
You're right. It can be a lot. But hey, knowledge is power, right? The more we know about how things work, the better choices we can make.
So, like, what? Read all those privacy policies. The ones that are a million pages long and written in some kind of legal jargon.
Uh-huh. Yeah, those. They're not exactly light reading, but it's worth skimming them at least, just to get a sense of what data they're collecting, how they're using it, all that.
Okay, so privacy policies, check. What else?
Pay attention to the permissions you give to apps and websites. Like, does that game app really need access to your microphone? Probably not.
Yeah, it's easy to just click accept without thinking about it.
Yeah.
But those permissions matter.
They do. And remember, if a service is free, you're probably the product. Your data is valuable, and companies are always looking for ways to get more of it.
It's kind of creepy when you think about it. All that information about us floating around out there.
It is. But hey, there are things we can do to protect ourselves. Use privacy-focused tools. There are VPNs that encrypt your data, ad blockers, privacy-focused search engines.
Okay, so we can arm ourselves with tech to fight back against the tech that's trying to track us.
Exactly. It's like a digital arms race, but we can at least try to even the playing field. And don't underestimate the power of, like, collective action.
What do you mean?
Support organizations that are fighting for digital rights. Tell your elected officials that you care about privacy. Vote with your wallet.
Oh, right. Like, choose to support companies that actually respect our privacy.
Exactly. We have more power than we think. Every click, every purchase, it sends a message.
So, even though this whole Brave thing might seem discouraging, we're not completely powerless.
Not at all. We just have to be informed, stay engaged, and keep pushing for a better, more privacy-respecting internet.
Well said. So as we wrap up this deep dive into the Brave browser and the bigger picture of online privacy, we want to leave you with this thought. Your privacy matters, it's worth fighting for, and you have the power to make a difference.
Don't let the tech world intimidate you. Take it one step at a time. Stay curious. Keep learning. The future of digital privacy depends on all of us.